I'm Senta, and you're listening to The Message of Grace with Pastor Jeremy Vance of GraceBloomington.Church. Thank you for joining us today for another installment of Preaching Free from Legalism and Religion. We hope that today's broadcast will inspire you to walk in grace in your relationship with Jesus. We also want to thank our donors who make this broadcast possible. Without you, we couldn't come to you weekly on this station. If you would like to donate, visit us at www.bloomington.church/give, where you can make a donation online through our safe and secure giving portal. Again, thank you for your generosity. I'll be back in just a little bit to tell you more about our ministry, but for now, let's head into the worship center for today's message of grace. It's nothing less than scandalous, this love that took our place. Just call it what
So a mom's number one priority, what is it? It's her family. Jesus' number one priority is you. And dads, most of the time, it should be our number one responsibility. But let's be honest, dads let stuff get in the way of their family sometimes, don't we? We're kind of geared in a way to make sure that the family's provided for. And we think as dads that as long as there's money in the bank, food on the table, a roof over the heads, that it's okay if we're not at home as much. It's okay if we're not there and present in their lives because we have to do all we can to make sure that they're provided for. And I'm just going to shoot you straight. I'm trying to make a lot of changes in my life this year. For most of our marriage, I have put the church and the ministry above this lady and above my children to the point that sometimes my kids have almost resented the ministry, because it's always come first. It's come first ahead of birthday parties at times. It's come first ahead of, I'm ashamed of all that. I'm not proud of that. But I want you to know that just because I'm in the ministry, that doesn't mean other people don't do that as well. I think there's something inside dads that want to make sure that their career is in place. And then sometimes hobbies get in the way for dads, right? Like their golf game, fishing, or got to get to the races, whatever it is, hobbies that dads do. On the flip side of that, moms, because we're in this day and age where it takes two incomes to make it go, right? I mean, can we agree on that? Like it shouldn't be that way, but it kind of does now, the way the economy is set up. But a mom will let her job go to pot if it means taking care of her kids, right? In fact, moms can go from being a loving shepherd to mama bear really, really quick. How many of you can agree with that? Like, you mess with my kids and I am no longer a loving shepherd. I am a bear that's going to claw your eyes out if you mess with my kids. Let's look over now in John chapter number 10, okay? I want you to see the way Jesus referred to himself. And Angela, I want you to talk just for a second about moms and their number one priority being their family.
If my number one priority is my family, then I'm going to, like he said, that men will, their job is, because God put it in them, to protect and to provide, which means money. I have to go make money. And sometimes they start making this money. And then that kind of becomes the focus. They lose track of why they're making that money. Whereas women, it's in them to take care of their family. And that does mean making money. You have to have money, right? Or their kids will starve. So you have to make money. But their number one priority is the child itself and the emotional state, which means I'm going to be with my child. I'm going to go home and I'm going to do these things. Sometimes I think I wanted to be the perfect mom. I was planning. I failed like the first day, I think. So I wanted to be this perfect mom. And in an effort to be a perfect mom, I realize I'm not. And I want to prove to the world that I am. So I noticed when my kids were really young that I would dress them up and then they'd get dirty before I took the picture to put on Facebook. And like, what are you doing? Now I'm not a perfect mom anymore because I was trying to prove to the world like they had to be cute and we had to be doing this really fun thing, but they weren't having fun doing the fun thing that was just for my sake. So sometimes I think we let our own mothering get in our way because we lose track of, wait, it's not about me. It's about them. And they do need to have fun and they do need to know that I'm there for them.
You know, I still remember when we were in Illinois, when that, what you're talking about came to light, like when the light went off for you about the social media thing, a friend that you had was in a park and her kids were in these, like, looked like Easter outfits, like really nice. Well, number one, who puts their kids in a nice Easter outfit to go play on the swing sets at the park, right? You don't do that. And her kids were crying because she's trying to set up the perfect Instagram picture for their kids playing. And the whole time the kids are miserable, but at least everybody on social media is going to think that their kids are happy, right?
Yeah. So I took mine over and we played in the dirt. I was like, I'm not doing that. Like I did. I was like, okay, so we're not doing that. And it, yeah, that's, but again, I have no mercy. I don't care. I'm,
So look in John chapter number 10. I want you to see what he says in verse number 11. I want you guys to read the yellow part with me. Say it together. I am the good shepherd. And then he says that the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Now look in verse number 14. Say it with me again. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and am known by my own. And so most of this series we've referred to as Jesus as the perfect shepherd. But today we're going to see Jesus as what he calls himself, the good shepherd. And I have said to you every message in this series, I'll say it to you again today, that Jesus is the greatest example of anything that is good. How many of you can agree with me on that today? Jesus is the greatest example of anything that is good. And so if a mom wants to be a good mom, then maybe she should model her life after what? The good shepherd. But here's the thing. Is there any moms in here who are perfect? Do we have any perfect ones in here today? I mean, besides you. No, I don't think we do. In fact, the reason I asked Angela a while ago, is it fair to compare moms to Jesus? Is because is there any female, whether you're a mom or not, is there any female in this room who wants to be compared to Jesus? I mean, do you want that pressure on your life? I don't think you do. And let's be honest, nobody wants to. I don't want to be compared to Jesus. I mean, if you say every pastor should be like Jesus, hey, fire me, man. I'll go sell cars at the Toyota dealership because I can sell them good too, by the way. But I want you to know that I don't live up to that expectation. Compared to the real good shepherd, no one looks that good at all. We all have our flaws. We have our failures. But think of this morning. God gave you to your mom. Now, everybody in the room isn't a mom, but everyone in the room is either a son or a daughter. And God gave you specifically to your mom and gave your mom to you. Like billions of people that would live around the world from the very beginning of time. And God knew that you would belong to your mother. He knew the flaws your mom would have. He knew the failures that she would have. Look, every inconsistency that drives you nuts about your mother, God knew you would have those, that she would have those inconsistencies. And you know what else? Look at me. God knew your mom would drive you crazy with those inconsistencies. He knew all that. And he knew our moms. Listen, I'm not asking you to raise your hand, but we've all been let down by mom at some point in our life, right? You know, God knew that too. And so while he knows that without God, without Jesus, your mom would not be the good shepherd, today I want you to see that even though she's not good, she's not perfect. Your mom is good enough. Jesus thought that you would be good enough for your kids, mom. And Jesus thought that your mom is good enough for you, kids. And so when I first gave Angela this title, I said, I'm going to preach on the good enough shepherd for moms. And she was like, I think you're going to offend every lady in the room if you do that. But the truth is, nobody wants to be compared to Jesus. But can I tell you what an honor it is for God to look at you and think you are good enough for your kids? I want to preach this message with Angela helping me, the good enough shepherd. I want to tell you, my wife is not a perfect mom to our kids, but she's good enough for those six kids. And God thought she was good enough. And now you might ask the question, well, what about those who never have kids? What about those who never have children? Are they good enough? I mean, Jeremy, I've never had kids. You may be saying to yourself, are you saying that I'm not good enough? No, actually the direct opposite. Ladies who don't bear children often have unique opportunities to exhibit Jesus to more children than that of a traditional mom. Now, I want you to think about that for a second. I know ladies, in fact, I know one particular lady in our church who has never given birth to a child, yet she is looked at as mom by dozens and dozens and dozens of kids here in Bloomington. And so if you're here today and you would say, well, Jeremy, I've never had kids. I don't think this message is for me. I want you to know that you have an opportunity to be mom to kids that you didn't give birth to. How many of us have a real mom, but also have another lady in our life that influenced us in a great way that's not mom? Yeah, we all do, right? And let's be honest, does it take a village to raise a kid? Look, let me just tell you, every kid needs a pastor. Every kid needs a pastor's wife. I think every kid needs some teachers who can speak life into them whenever mom won't listen. Or not whenever mom won't listen. Whenever they won't listen to mom. Well, sometimes mom won't listen either, right? But anyway, Angela, I want you to talk about that for just a second, because is there times in our life, and I know there is, but I want you to talk about it, when our kids may not be getting it when we talk to them and we have to refer them to a different mom?
Yeah. So I've had times with, and some of you in here actually, I have called you and said, okay, so here's what I'm up against. And I know we feel the same about this, but you know, the child is however old they are, and they're tired of me. They're irritated with me. So, and they like you. So if you can speak this to them in your words, in your way, they might actually get it. So it's very similar to you hear it in one grade and you don't understand it, but then the very next teacher says it a different way and suddenly, oh, that makes some sense. So yes, I think we need to use the people around us and don't be offended, because in all honesty, I was offended. Yep. The first time my kid came home and said, well, so-and-so said this. And I'm like, I've been telling you that forever. What is your problem? And then it hit me. Wait a minute. It doesn't matter that I've tried and tried and didn't work. What matters is that the kid got it. Yep. That's what matters.
Has anybody else been frustrated whenever you've told your kid something 100 times and they don't listen, and then somebody else tells them 1 time and they get it? Does that frustrate you? All right. Well, today what we're trying to explain to you is it's okay, because it takes more than one mom.
It's very normal. It's very, because you know their weaknesses, but they know yours. And why should I listen to you when I know blah, blah, blah. And so sometimes I think that gets in the way too. It's good, because now I can apologize and I can teach you how to apologize.
As a mom, you may not even have kids, but you're still playing the role of mom in somebody's life. And as parents who are kind of in the public eye, and our kids kind of get tired sometimes of parents who are known by everybody like that, it's kind of nice for us to be able to say to one of you even, would you talk to my kids about this? And if we can relinquish some of that control to you, well, it's okay for you to relinquish some of that control to others as well, because it takes a village. And isn't that what church family is about?
Senta here again, and I am one of the campus hostesses at Grace. Our church is located on the west side of town towards Ellettsville on Smith Pike. While we are excited to have you joining us by radio today, the very best way you could ever connect with us is to visit us at one of our live in-person services on a Sunday morning. You'll be greeted at the door by the most welcoming and loving church family around. Grab a coffee at our Grace Place coffee area and then settle in the worship center for an amazing worship experience led by our talented singers and instrumentalists, and of course, a message of grace, typically led by Jeremy. We hope you'll come and visit us this Sunday and experience Jesus plus nothing firsthand. For more information about our ministry, visit us at www.bloomington.church. And now, let's get back to today's message of grace.
Look at verse number 4 and tell me this isn't a mom verse. When he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Would it be okay for us to put mom in there and say that when she brings out her children, she goes before them? In other words, she protects her kids. She's going to make sure that everything is protected from them. And the sheep or the children follow her, for they know her voice. I want you to know this morning, number one, that mom is good enough because she knows me better than anybody. Some of you in here, you may not have a good relationship with your mom, but can I tell you, she changed your diapers. She gave birth to you. You put her through a lot of pain, and there is nobody on earth that knows you better than your mom does. She knows you well. And so a good mom can be trusted by her children. The Bible says there in verse number 5 that they'll never follow a stranger but run away from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. How many of you, your mom told you, stay away from strangers, right? Don't go in the creepy van that offers you ice cream or candy or whatever, right? Stranger danger. But the truth is, let 1,000 women in the room be talking, and a child will know the voice of their mom out of all those women talking. Now, if it's a boy child, he's going to be really frustrated because boys cannot handle more than one conversation going on at a time, right? Like, I don't know about you. Now, Angela can, and this is one area that men are different than ladies. Angela, there can be 5 conversations going on in the room all at one time, 3 of them directed at her, and she is comprehending all of it. Whereas for me, when everybody's talking at one time, I'm like, hey, can y'all just everybody shut up and one person talk at a time? Okay, how many of you ladies understand what I mean when I say a woman can understand a lot of different conversations at one time? Like, y'all get that? How many of you women get that? Raise your hand big and high so the guys can see that, all right? How many of you are like me who are like, no, I can't do that. One conversation, everybody else be quiet. It's mainly guys raising their hand. Why? Because that's how it is. Ladies can handle it. I mean, is that how you are? Is it true in our life? And she's had to look at me and say, Jeremy, God gave us a big family. Get over it, right? And so there again. But the truth is, a child will know mom's voice above everybody. Now, verse number 11 again. I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Number 2, I want you to see that mom is good enough because she sacrifices for me. Oh, isn't that what Jesus did for us? The ultimate sacrifice. Verse number 12, the Bible says a hired hand won't protect them and is not a shepherd. He doesn't own the sheep. He sees the wolf coming and he runs. So the wolf will catch them and scatter the sheep. The hired hand runs away because he's a hired hand. It doesn't care about the sheep. When you were in school, how many of you loved it whenever a substitute teacher would be there for the day? Y'all, oh, I see some kids raising their hand. A little Asher boy back there raising his hand. He loves substitute. Why do we love substitute teachers? By the way, do we have any substitute teachers in the room? People who have done that before? Anybody ever been a sub before? Nobody? No subs? Oh, a few people there. Okay. So here's the thing. So when you're a substitute teacher, you already know going into it, there's going to be some kids who take advantage of you. And when you're a babysitter, you come in, you already know that those kids are going to take advantage of you in certain ways because they, even though mom may prep them on everything, the truth is there's something mom forgot to prep you about. And they're going to get away with stuff with you. But the thing about a babysitter as well is, let's just be honest, if SpaghettiOs are what they left you out to eat, only mom knows how to get the SpaghettiOs temperature just right. And when I was a kid, I remember my Pepaw trying to warm up SpaghettiOs and it'd be too hot or too cold. But Memaw knew how to do it just right. In fact, a babysitter won't put the right amount of powder in the chocolate milk to make it just right, all right? It's either going to be too white milky or too dark chocolatey. It's not going to be right, but a mom knows how to mix up that chocolate milk just right. A mom knows how to tuck them in just right. The babysitter is just hoping the kids shut up, watch TV, so they can get their phone out and text their boyfriend until they get back from their date or whatever's going on, right? The babysitter's like, man, I just want to get my paycheck and get out. Because the truth is, a babysitter isn't called to love that kid like mom is. When I look at Angela here, I've seen her sacrifice her last dollar to make sure her kids have what they need. We have a big family, and we don't hide that. It's pretty obvious. It's hard to hide it. But now that they've got all these plus ones, the family's even, hide them away. Stay down. But anyway, we have these plus ones now, so when we have dinner, sometimes if I'm cooking, I'll forget how many people are going to be there. I may not cook enough food, or she may not cook enough food or whatever, because it's hard to estimate who's going to be there. And you just never know. And so, but I've seen times when the twins have already eaten their plate and they're still hungry. They want more food. And Angela's just now to the place to where she's able to make her plate and she'll give the kids her food and not tell them that she wasn't eating it. And then she'll go sneak away and eat a banana or something just so that the kids can have all the food they need, because that's what mom does. They'll give their last dollar, their last whatever for their kids. And so if you look down in verse number 14 now, he says, even as I'm the good shepherd, I know my sheep and I'm known by them. Verse number 15, even as the Father knows me, so I know the Father and lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep who are not of this fold. I must bring them and they will hear my voice and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Now, I want you to see number 3 and finally, my mom is good enough for me because she gave me life. Kids jokingly say, and one of our kids said it recently this year, just joking with Angela, but they say, hey, Mom, you should celebrate me on Mother's Day because without me, you couldn't celebrate Mother's Day. You wouldn't be a mom without me. Well, here's the thing. You couldn't exist without your mother, so celebrate her today. And Jesus, the context here is, you know, Jesus is basically saying, look, there's Gentiles out there that are going to be brought into the Jewish flock, right? Like, that's the context. But I look at that and I try to relate it to our family. For 4 years, there was a little girl in our family named Jennabeth, and Jennabeth was the baby for 8 years. Did I say 4 years? For 8 years, Jennabeth was the baby until one day I'm in staff meeting and I get a text from my crunchy mama wife. And if you don't know what crunchy is, that's just basically health nut, okay, who is against preservatives and likes everything to be just like we like Jesus around here, plus nothing, no additives, no preservatives, right? And so that's how she is. And I get a text in staff meeting in Illinois from my wife, says, I'm in the mood for a Big Mac. When you come home for lunch, can you bring a Big Mac home? And I looked at my staff when I got that text, and I told all of them, I said, my wife is pregnant. And they said, what? Did she just text you she's pregnant? I said, no. She texted me she wants a Big Mac, and the only time she ever wants McDonald's is when she's pregnant. And so I left the staff meeting after we were done. I went to McDonald's, and then I stopped by a local store and got a pregnancy test and said, here, you need both of these. And sure enough, mercy and grace were on the way. So for 8 years, it was our four and no more. And then God saw fit to give us another one. I want you to see God gives life, but moms give life. And this is the giver of life is Jesus, and mom is the giver of life. Look at John 3:16, the most popular verse in the scriptures. For God so what? That's sacrificial love. You want to talk a little bit about sacrificial love from a mom?
So I think... I was telling him, I think that true love, the definition of love is to give of yourself for the other person without, like, completely give of yourself for the other person without expecting anything in return. And I think that the relationship between a mom and a child is that you don't have a baby expecting that baby to do anything for you. I wanted, like, that was my goal in life. I was going to have lots and lots of boys and maybe a girl or two. And God had other plans for me. I have lots and lots of girls and one boy. But my goal was to be this mom, and I was going to be a perfect mom, and I was going to do all these things. But I didn't go into it thinking that my kids were going to do anything for me. I went into it thinking I was going to train them and love them and guide them, and they were going to be perfect because I was so perfect. And they're not perfect because I'm not perfect. But God loves us, and without his love, we couldn't love our kids. Without his love, we wouldn't have a way to even give them hope for eternity. So I think that mother love is true love, when you give of yourself for your kids without expecting anything in return.
I think one of the hardest things you've ever had to cope with, and most moms, is the fact that you weren't the perfect mom. And if you're a mom in here today and you got some mom guilt, you look back and say, man, I just wasn't the perfect mom. I can't speak into that. I've never been a mom, but I'd like you to talk a little bit about moms and their flaws and Jesus putting you in your kids' life in spite of those flaws.
So I did want to be a perfect mom. I had dreams. I was going to be the perfect wife and the perfect mom. And it was going to be amazing. But the thing is, I can't be perfect at anything because I'm not perfect. And I can't even love people without Jesus. I can't love anyone, right? We have to have Jesus' love in us, and it overflows and into the lives of others around us. But I can teach my children through my flaws. And I've told them, if I do something that annoys you, remember that and don't do that. Like, just don't do that. That I can teach you not to be annoying by being annoying. It works for me. But if I do something that hurts them, I need to apologize. And I have had to apologize to them many times. But if I were to pretend I was perfect and not apologize to my children, I'm raising children who are doing the same thing. Whereas if I make it very normal that, yes, I sin, and yes, I'm wrong, and I'm sorry I hurt you, will you forgive me? Now my child knows how to apologize, because we expect them to say, I'm sorry, say sorry, tell them you're sorry when they're not sorry. And I don't think we should ask them to say they're sorry when they're not. But if I demonstrate that to them when I am sorry that I hurt them, and I show them out of my own heart, I am sorry, will you forgive me? Now they have just seen what true repentance is. And if mom can apologize to me, then I can apologize to someone else. So I think that our flaws actually, you know, Romans 8:28, it works out. It works out where they see, okay, mom wasn't perfect and it's okay that I'm not. Mom apologized to me. It's okay for me to apologize to someone else. And it teaches them how to apologize. It teaches them how to forgive. And it teaches me that it's okay that I'm not perfect, that God can still use me.
These are lessons I can't teach on. Only a mom can. And I'd like to speak just for a second. I mentioned earlier about moms with no children. And we had a friend in Illinois that kind of inspired all of us. And I'd like you to talk about that for a second.
So first off, I want to say I have never had, I had four kids. And actually, I had two miscarriages in there as well. So I didn't have the problem of not being able to have children. But when Jenna was born, I was told, you will never have more kids. It's impossible. You can't have them. And I was devastated. And I remember feeling so guilty because I knew people who couldn't ever have them ever. And I felt bad because why? I have no right to feel like this. And I couldn't imagine what they must go through. Then we moved to Illinois and I met a friend who couldn't have children. And she was just becoming part of the foster care group, whatever. She came to me. So I was starting ministries in the church, like outreach ministries. And she came to me and said, what can we do for the foster care families? And I said, I don't know. I don't know anything about them. What can we do? Like, I had to talk to her and figure out what could we do. So after I talked to her, she basically just took off running and she started this ministry. And then, you know, we move here many years later. This has been what, 10 years now?
Yeah.
So the 12, last time, right. Okay. So the last time that I went back and saw her, she said to me, look what God has done. She said, I don't know why. So she was married for 15 years before she was able to adopt for the first time. She has now adopted four children out of the foster care system. She has started a ministry that reaches children, it reaches birth parents, and it reaches foster parents. So she has started this ministry that is growing faster than she can keep up with. She has reached at least half of the community, and she has adopted four children. And she said, why did I waste 15 years crying? Because I couldn't have children. Why didn't I start this sooner? And I said, because you needed to grieve. Yeah. And we have to grieve the things that we have lost. And we have to realize that our life doesn't, nobody's life ever looks exactly like they imagined it would look. And we have to grieve those losses and we have to move on. Knowing that God has given us the life he wants us to have. And that life is better than any life we could have imagined. But we do. We have to grieve what we thought we wanted. We have to grieve what we think we're missing, what we've lost, and we have to move on waiting that God is going to put in our laps exactly what he wants us to have, which in the long run is better than anything we could have imagined.
You've been listening to The Message of Grace with Pastor Jeremy Vance of GraceWilmington.Church. We hope that today's broadcast was a blessing and a help to you. If you would like to hear today's message in its entirety, you can visit our YouTube page by searching Bloomington Virtual Church. You can also listen to messages at our website, www.bloomington.church. And while you're at Bloomington.church, please feel free to leave a donation at the giving link. Your financial donations make our broadcast possible each week. We want to thank those who have donated and those who will choose to this week. Again, my name is Senta, and we would love to have you visit us next Sunday, live and in person at either 9:15 or 11 a.m. And don't forget to tune in weekly, Monday through Friday, for A Moment of Grace with Pastor Jeremy at 7:20. I'm Senta, and you've been listening to The Message of Grace. We hope you'll join us next week. God bless. It's nothing less than scandalous that Jesus